blogtalkradio.com. You can interact with the show by calling 760-888-5749 or use the hashtag PWPRadio on Twitter. Here are your hosts, Jay Leno and Will TLD Vapidez.
How's it going? Welcome. It's Tuesday night. Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio is on the air. We've got a little bit of a different platform tonight. Jay is in Washington, D.C., so it is me, John JCD, co-host of All You Know, manning the reins tonight. I'm already joined by one of our regular weekly co-hosts, Toph, and of course the man, the myth, the legend, albeit in his own mind, TLD.
It's my TLD. Yeah.
Four-time tag team champion.
Okay.
Guys,
welcome.
Set up way too soon. Absolutely not. It's in my contract that I have to play for at least 30 minutes.
You okay,
kidding me?
So what's going on, guys?
Oh, yeah.
What's the good word? How's everyone doing tonight?
I'm doing good. Listening to ECW stuff. How are you guys up to tonight?
Good. What ECW stuff are you listening to?
Oh, just New Jack themes, you know. Oh, not New Jack themes, but ECW themes. I started with New Jack and then Sabu and RVD. I really liked how they used the Pulp Fiction music in their promos. I'm just looking at ECW stuff all day. That's what I've been up to today, though.
Nice, nice. And Will, TLD, the hardest working man in Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio Network, how's it going?
Doing well, you know, we filmed a couple of shows for Brooklyn4.com where our wrestling website is up there so you can watch me and videos and stuff like that. So we got that going on. And I am officially trying to do a petition so that we can have a three-count DVD from WCW.
The best of three-count?
Best of three-count.
I'm in. Where do I sign?
I don't know. I didn't make one for that. I was just joking.
Okay, well, and make sure you include all the footage of Colonel Abbott as well.
Oh, yes, Mr. Tank Abbott, yes, absolutely.
Innocent victims and then the Colonel of Three Count. Anyway, moving on from Three Count, I guess we'll go with the obvious. Let's start with last night's Raw. What did you guys think? Will, I'll kick it over to you.
You know, I got to say, I was not very impressed with Raw this week at all. It's like, I just realized something. It's like, it's been almost a month since WrestleMania already. You know, I feel like that
yeah,
it was
tomorrow's a month.
Tomorrow's a month. And it feels like, you know, and my birthday, by the way, is Thursday, by the way. I do accept gifts. You know, I feel like it's been just a long road since WrestleMania, and this show kind of made me feel that way, though, during the whole time. I don't know. I mean, does it feel like it's been a long time since Mania? It just made me realize that watching WWE Raw the last few weeks.
I think it's the fact that for the first time in God knows how long, you've got almost 6 weeks in between pay-per-views. Usually, you know, we've had the, let's say, WrestleMania's on the 5th, and then they're coming back at, like, the 26th with, you know, Extreme Rules. Now it's like you had WrestleMania the first weekend in April, and you're not getting Extreme Rules till the third Sunday of May. So I definitely get what you're feeling, you know, how you're feeling with it. This is very, very uncharted ground for them the last couple of years when they've done the two April pay-per-views. Toph, what is your take on this?
I tried to watch Raw last night, keyword tried, and I honestly gave up like 30 minutes. I did DVR the show. And early this morning, I did watch some of it, but lately for me, WWE programming has just kind of been a chore to watch. It's just the three-hour thing, the brand split not meaning nothing, GMs, just everything. Just everything in the product right now is really just completely disinteresting. Pretty much the only thing I'm even remotely interested in is the Shield, and that's just their matches. You know, they consistently put on good matches. Other than that, though, I'm just really No, the product right now is just, it's not doing good. I was actually talking to some friends yesterday, and they were debating on whether or not wrestling should have an off time, like how football and all those other sports do. And, you know, wrestling is just, it's never had an off time. Just the thought of thinking about that is just unusual, but something needs to be done. You know, usually after WrestleMania, that's when the season starts anew, but, you know, it just feels like the same old crap, really.
Okay. I definitely agree with some of that. I definitely feel I didn't hate last night's show, even though I watched it quick on my DVR today. I really didn't get to watch a lot of it last night. I followed it online. I just feel that there's nothing, oh my God, happening. The matches aren't terrible. You know, you're getting better in-ring action. It seems like you're getting longer in-ring action, but you're just not getting anything that makes you turn around and just says, wow, I can't believe that just happened. And it seems like they had this last year when Lesnar returned, and, you know, they have it usually when they have that fresh debut or that fresh heel turn. And it just seems like the last 2 years they haven't had that. You know, am I the only one thinking that way, that,
well,
you know?
Lesnar last year was the saving grace, I think, and we got the best pay-per-view last year when it came to Extreme Rules, and no one can deny that Extreme Rules was not one of the best shows of the year. And
it was the best show of the year. I'll give you that 100%.
Yeah, so, you know, people are going to have that high expectation, which I don't think is going to have that this year. I mean, you know why? I think people liked Extreme Rules so much because it was so out of left field. You never thought the show would be better than WrestleMania. You know, right now, the best show this year has been, like, the Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania. It's been, like, the show of the year so far, honestly. And Extreme Rules, we've had so much build to get to it, but people are just interested in Ryback versus, you know, John Cena. I think that the top storyline right now is The Shield, and that should be the top storyline, not really so much John Cena and Ryback, at least in my opinion. I think if they build it around The Shield, I think that would be better than building it around Ryback and John Cena.
Let me ask you this, and I'm glad you brought up Ryback Cena, and I have no problem with the feud itself. I feel, you know, for people who have clamored for anything different, it's different. We've never seen Ryback John Cena. I know people who want to really nitpick are going to mention, oh, well, skip Sheffield and the Nexus and all that stuff. Relax with that, okay? IWC Marks, calm yourself.
Just
but
relax.
Here's the thing, and this kind of goes into some conversations that me and Jay have been having, whether it be on Twitter or Facebook, but we haven't had to have on air. Does the fact that the Ryback-Cena feud got disgustingly rushed and made no sense the way it came about when it did, how much of this is truly an impact of whatever happened with The Rock? And
I agree. This whole Ryback thing, for me, it seems very rushed. I don't like to believe in dirt sheets. I don't even read dirt sheets anymore. I don't even go to those websites. But you just feel something's off. It doesn't make sense. Ryback was, you know, I'm a big philosophy fan of the saying, if it's not broke, why fix it? Ryback was getting good reactions. You know, he wasn't like, you know, blowing the roof off or anything, but I think a good amount of fans were into him. He was consistently getting good reactions every week. And, you know, there was really no reason to turn him heel, you know. And you just have all these pay-per-views in a row that you lose, and then just out of nowhere, you turn him heel. And now he's feuding with Cena. It just makes no sense. I believe that they were going to do something with The Rock. And when Rock took his ball and whatever happened there, I believe they just panicked. And they just said, well, someone's got to fight Cena, and they just chose Ryback. You know, I believe that this Ryback thing was not part of the plan, and this is just something they improvised once Rock decided he wasn't going to do whatever it was he had to do. And I'm not going to say what it was because I don't know. I'm not, you know, I don't work for WWE. I don't know what goes on backstage. But it just seems very clear to me that obviously Ryback was not part of the plan because he didn't even beat Henry. That's the weird thing about it. Like, he didn't even beat Henry. Henry just beat him clean at Mania, and now all of a sudden Ryback gets a push? It makes no sense at all.
I'm glad.
Do you want to go off that real quick? you mind if I say something about that?
Yeah, go ahead, Will.
All right, thank you. So when you look at WrestleMania from Miami and you saw 28, John Cena went from John Cena to The Rock to John Cena Brock Lesnar. And this year, he's going against a guy that was third on the card and lost on the card and was indeed getting babyface pops. It's hard to sink in because when you think of last year's WrestleMania, he went right to Brock Lesnar. Bam! And that, like, tore the roof off. People were excited to see that. And it was in the end of the result, we had a really cool knockout, drag-out fight. And this time, it's against a guy who, the storyline makes sense as far as why Ryback's pissed at him. I get that. You know, they explained it very well, why he's doing what he's doing. But I agree with the rushing thing. I think The Rock has legitimately got hurt. They had to pull the trigger on something, but, it's the best they could do right now. But I think that Triple H, Brock Lesnar will be the main event on Extreme Rules. I can't imagine they put, anything else beyond that.
I would not be against that if this is the end. Like, if this is their last match, if this is going to be, like, the end of their feud, I would be okay with that main eventing. But if it's going to continue, then I'd be against that.
Okay.
Well, if Ryback loses this match, then I don't know where. He has to. He's obviously not going to win.
It's very strange. Right now, when I look at Ryback's booking, it reminds me of how TNA booked James Storm last year. They were giving James Storm all this momentum. It seemed like he was going to be like the next guy. And, he never really recovered from that loss to Bobby Roode at Lockdown. From that point on, it just seemed like Storm was just there. They were pushing Ryback really hard. I remember he was really hot in the fall of last year, and then he just kept losing again and again and again, and now he's like, he's just there. I don't know what they're doing with Ryback.
I want to give you a little different perspective on it. I have no problem with Ryback Cena, like Will said. The way, it's been explained and the reasoning why Ryback's been upset about losing at the pay-per-view after pay-per-view after pay-per-view, it's because this happened, that happened. That all makes sense. And they kept that part of it simple. Here's where I think they either panicked the night after WrestleMania, and again, like Tove said, no one really knows except Vince, Rocky, and probably Hunter what actually went down between 11:05 p.m. and 7:59 Monday night. That's fine. I do think, and I go just by the fact that he was advertised on the TV ads, I do believe Rock was supposed to be there. Again, whatever happened, he didn't show up.
Mm-hmm.
You would tend to think he would have been a big focal part of that show. Now, if Rocky's on that show, you could have probably snuck in a Ryback-Henry rematch with Ryback going over. And then you could have done everything else you did with Ryback with Cena a week later and then brought us to where we are right now. I'm kind of the mindset that, again, whatever happened with Rock happened, and they kind of pushed off a week's worth of what would have made that storyline work a little better because of what happened with Rock.
Yeah, something obviously went wrong, and then again, like, we don't know what happened, and I'm not going to act like I do know what's going to happen. I do have a friend that did attend the post-Mania Raw, and she's a very credible source. I know her very well, and she told me that not only was The Rock advertised to show up that day, but Brock Lesnar and CM Punk were also advertised for that post-Raw Mania. And according to what the Dirt Sheets claim, CM Punk was pulled because they were afraid that he would get a positive reaction because of, how post-Raw Manias are. And as far as Brock Lesnar is concerned, as far as I know, he was there. They just didn't use him. But the bottom line was that The Rock, Brock Lesnar, and CM Punk, all three of them were advertised heavily weeks
mm-hmm.
before. All of them were advertised to be on that show, and neither one of them showed up. So who knows what the plan was. So the fact that all three of them were advertised and none of them showed up, that tells me that they panicked and they did something. They just improvised, and I think they just chose Ryback. They just chose him, But I hope it works out for Ryback, because even though I'm not a fan of him, he is new. you know, we as fans always said we want to see someone different. We want to see someone else get a push. He is new. I'm always for that. I'll always be on board for somebody new getting a push. You know, Ryback Cena is a fresh feud. I will give it that.
Yeah, and not to mention that, you know, even if Ryback does lose, think of the credibility that Ryback can bring to the Intercontinental or the United States title if, indeed, he doesn't stay up there. Think of what he could do with those belts, because right now they're stuck with mid-card guys that lose every week. Hence, Wade Barrett lost to Sheamus again. You know, so why not put it on someone like a Ryback who is, you know, beating up all the mid-card guys, and finally there's a mid-card guy that can rise up and beat him. You know, I think that would be better for him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm actually going to go the complete opposite. I could see Ryback winning at Extreme Rules. They've got to get 3 months out of this feud. And I know they've done it where Superman wins every month.
Yeah, he called him Super Superman.
But I could see Ryback winning. I could see the whole leg thing playing a factor, and I could see it. I could see it.
If he wins, it's going to be from a run-in from S.H.I.E.L.D., so, yeah.
Which is fine.
Yeah, that would be fine.
The S.H.I.E.L.D. needs to be involved. The S.H.I.E.L.D. needs to be the focal point of the show, because if John Cena can't beat him, Sheamus and Orton can't beat him, Big Show can't beat him, Undertaker can't beat him, then they got to start rising against this group, because they're the focal point to me of this entire show. Ryback even fought him off on Raw, but they should be the focal point right now of Raw. You know, who says that the title has to be on the line? Why not Cena still fight the Shield? Don't put the belt as a priority right now, because right now there is no reason to, because there's no one better than John Cena right now. Until CM Punk comes back into the picture, there is nobody that I could ever believe could take that belt off Cena. CM Punk is the only one who can prove that to me.
In a regular match, you mean, right?
No, I don't care what match it is. It doesn't matter what match it is, because CM Punk is a credible champion, and he's beaten John Cena multiple times, and they've had the best matches. You know, we don't know what a John Cena Ryback match is going to look like. Hopefully, you know, with the Extreme or Last Man Standing rules, now we have a kind of a way to kind of hide the wrestling part of it. You know, but CM Punk doesn't need a stipulation, because those two could wrestle. You know, they gel together. They work together. That could be a WrestleMania match every time, because that is our Stone Cold versus Bret Hart of today.
John Cena seems to have a very unusual curse. It seems like the people that he has the best matches with, for some reason, he just never had a Mania feud with them. It's crazy. You know, as many times as John Cena fought Randy Orton, they never had a singles match at Mania. It just seems so strange when you look back on it. And they could have easily done Cena versus Punk this year, but that didn't happen as well. So, very strange little curse Cena has.
It could have happened, but it could be a SummerSlam match.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I Punk Cena, we can go on about that, especially with the fact that even that match on Raw a few weeks ago was just ridiculous and phenomenal. You know, but yeah, I think a Cena Ryback fight, Last Man Standing, probably caters A, to Ryback's abilities, and B, depending on what the story is with this injury. If Cena's really limited, if he's not, you know, it hides it well, and it actually gives Ryback a way to win the title. I could see them both struggling to get up, and once they hit like 9, I could see Ryback like just swiping the leg or kicking the foot, and there it is, the Achilles heel of Cena, you know, betrayed him, and that's how he lost the title, just like he did against Sheamus when he lost to Sheamus in December 2009. Sheamus didn't put him through a table. He pretty much got, you know, Cena fell through the table on a fluke, you know, top rope spot. You know, it wasn't like Sheamus got him up for white noise and put him through. It's a way to protect Cena. It's a way to give Ryback the belt. And it's a way to make this feud work for 3 months.
Mm. Okay.
You know, but, well, you know, we'll see what happens. You guys brought up the Shield. I don't see any way they're being stopped right now.
If that's okay.
What did you want to talk about?
I just want to talk about the Shield for a second, if that's okay.
Okay.
I like the Shield as in-ring competitors individually, and I like them as a group. They consistently put on, you know, great matches every time they perform. But I have a very huge beef with the Shield, and I've brought this up a few times, and when I do, I either get two responses. People say that I'm hating, or they say, wait and see. My beef with the Shield is from a storyline standpoint, it doesn't make any sense. In fact, from a storyline standpoint, I think the Shield is actually worse than the Aces and Eights. You can talk all the crap you want about the Aces and Eights. The Aces and Eights, they actually explain all of that and that impact. Bully Ray kind of dug deep into it and explained how he manipulated his way into tricking Hogan and Brooke and the entire TNA roster. Let's explain the Shield, okay? So the Shield, they kept interfering in CM Punk's matches. Each time CM Punk retained the title, CM Punk claimed constantly that he had no relationship with the Shield. Then, after months of this, we see a little segment where Paul Heyman appears to be having a conversation with the Shield. So we get from this that Paul Heyman paid off the Shield. Now here's the question. Was CM Punk aware of the fact that Paul Heyman paid him off? Or did Paul Heyman secretly go behind Punk's back, like as an insurance policy? That was never explained. They just completely dropped that. Whether or not he knew about it or not, we at least know why the Shield interfered in CM Punk's match. They kept interfering in his matches because Paul Heyman paid him off. What about The Rock? What about Randy Orton? What about Sheamus? What about Team Hell No? What about John Cena? What about all those other guys that have nothing to do with CM Punk? Why did the Shield interfere in those matches? They never explained that. They keep saying they fight for injustice. What is injustice? What qualifies as injustice to them? They haven't explained anything. It's just three guys showing up every week, really just jumping people. And I can't even call them a faction, because a faction, they attack faces and heels. And so far, for the most part, they've really just attacked faces. You can say they attack Big Show, whatever the hell he is. You can say they attack 3MB. No one takes them seriously. Their booking just makes no sense. What the Shield reminds me of, they remind me of the Outsiders. People think about the NWO. They think about when Hogan went heel. Remember before Hogan showed up? Remember when it was just Hall and Nash, when they kept showing up at WCW shows and they just kept causing all this havoc and chaos, and you were confused and you were wondering where it's going? Then when Hogan showed up and he went heel, you were like, oh, now it makes sense. Hogan's the third man. They're working for Hogan. When I see the Shield, that's what they remind me of. I keep thinking this is going to lead to something. Maybe they'll reveal a fourth member, and the fourth member was the one that told them to do all this stuff. Or maybe one day they'll do a promo and they'll explain why they did this, that, and this. But it's not happening. People keep saying, oh, don't worry, Toph, just wait, they'll explain. But they're not going to explain. Did they explain why Hornswoggle was the anonymous GM? No. Did they explain why Nexus buried Undertaker? No. They're not going to explain. I like the Shield. They're great talents. They put on great matches. But I'm sorry, their booking is stupid. And I feel like fans are just giving it a pass just because of who they are. And that's all I got to say about the Shield.
That's it?
Okay, Toph. Nice.
I thought you had a little more than that. Come on, you're 40 minutes.
I'll give you something with that. I'm not going to say you're hating on it, because everything you said as far as what is their actual purpose, you are 100% right on. I will give you that 100%, Toph. However, I think with this, though. 100% and one.
Okay.
What'd you say, Will?
100%, and he's 101% correct.
Okay, 101%. Okay, here's the thing, though. I think, unlike the Nexus, which unfortunately that became very obvious at SummerSlam, unlike some of the other stuff that have started hot and died, I think they are really invested in these three to the point where whatever needs to be tied in as far as the loose ends, I think will. Whatever the connection was with Heyman and Punk, that may be being saved for when Punk comes back and if Punk's going to go face. As far as what constitutes injustice to them, there still may be some time to pay this off. So while I'm definitely not going to say you're a hater on it, because your reasoning for feeling this way with stuff they've done in the past is, as Will said, 101% correct, I also think that this is different because you could just tell they are really committed to making this work. And whatever needs to be done to get these three, whether it be as the group that they are, or eventually when these three guys go their own separate ways, it's going to happen.
Okay.
All right, well, since we're talking about the Shield, what is your scenario for their first group loss?
Oh, who are you asking, me or?
Either one of you. Whoever wants to go first.
No, well, he had the rant, so he can go first. He knows that.
All right.
He can go.
Oh, the Shield's first loss? I think their first loss is probably going to be when we don't see it coming. When you keep putting them up against all these top tier guys like John Cena and Randy Orton and Sheamus and The Undertaker and all that, it puts them on a pedestal so high. And then, you know, when they go up against, you know, some mid-card guy that nobody really takes seriously, it's going to make that defeat put over that mid-card guy. It's going to make him mean something. I can definitely see, you know, someone off the grid. I think that when they lose, it's going to be to somebody that's not going to be on anybody's radar. Perhaps a returning Evan Bourne, a returning Christian, maybe a new star from NXT brought up. I think it's going to be random. It's going to be like an upset similar to Razor Ramon and the 1-2-3 Kid, one of my favorite upset victories of all time. I think it's just going to be a random, you know, loss that no one's going to see coming. It's going to surprise us. That's what I think.
Okay, Will?
I think they honestly have to lose to John Cena and some form of team. I don't know who. I don't know if it could be like a returning Christian to give him some real good, you know, bump while he comes back, you know, from wherever, whenever that may be. They're probably holding him back for a little bit. Or it could be The Undertaker himself. I would not be surprised.
It could be that. I was considering that. It could be Taker.
I would say SummerSlam, if The Undertaker were to come back, that'd be the perfect time.
That's actually, we discussed this last Wednesday night on Oh You Didn't Know, and we brought up this exact topic, and I actually have a scenario where Kane and Undertaker head into SummerSlam, and they're going to need a third partner. And their third partner will be a returning face, CM Punk. And that will be the threesome to finally defeat the Shield as a group.
Punk, Taker, and Kane?
Yep. Mm.
Would that be the main event or just one of the main events of the show?
That should be the main event.
I would make that the main event.
That's actually a very old school idea. I would be okay with that.
I'd be all down for that too, but I don't think CM Punk should be a face yet.
Think about Punk.
After what he did to The Undertaker, would you let anybody team up with you, someone like that? And he has nothing against the Shield. The Shield helped him win matches. I don't think he has anything against him.
If Punk wasn't cool with it, though, it actually ties in perfectly.
You don't know
you could
that.
Here's how you could play it out. This is how completely I would draw it up. Whether July, Taker's coming back, him and Kane. Like, yeah, we're ready. We're going to take you three on. The Shield's beating the piss out of Taker and Kane. And all of a sudden, for the first time since the week after WrestleMania, Cult of Personality hits. Punk comes out. The last image everyone really has of Punk is him crapping all over Paul Bearer and Taker and Kane. And everyone thinks Punk's going to rejoin with the Shield and, you know, continue to beat down Taker and Kane. And that's when Punk lays out Dean Ambrose and, you know, goes after Roman Reigns and Rollins. And there's that uneasiness between Punk and Taker and Kane because of what happened. You don't forget it. And that's where the key to this is, playing up that dissension heading into SummerSlam. But the three of them unite, they beat the Shield. And then, you know, whether you do it before SummerSlam or right after, you could have always Punk say, listen, you know what? I was a douche to Undertaker, but you know what? He beat me. I respect him. You know, I'm part of, you know what I'm saying? Like something like that. And I blame Heyman, you know, for the last 6 months of my career and losing the WWE title with all that stuff, which then ties you in eventually to Punk
Lesnar.
Lesnar. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Yeah. That'd be fine. Anything to get Lesnar away from Triple H. As far as the Shield goes, my worst fear is for Triple H to defeat them. Because Triple H just has this bad habit of attaching himself to whatever's hot in the product. He's been doing that for years. I could definitely see Triple H and say, I don't know, the New Age Outlaws, you know, beating the Shield. That's like my worst fear. But I don't think that
happens. I think Business Hunter won't do that. This isn't backstage politic Hunter anymore. That, you know, oh, you're the hot guy, come in so I can pedigree you and, you know, have a horrible match at WrestleMania 19 with you. Business Hunter is completely different. Remember, this is the same guy who teamed up with Punk and put over Awesome Truth. You know, everyone kind of forgets that, though. Everyone forgets that. As much as everyone wants to crap on Hunter for Night of Champions 2011 when he beat Punk, and he didn't exactly bury Punk in that match. There was a lot of stuff that went on. He was part of putting over Awesome Truth. And I've always said, if Killings wasn't going to get suspended, they would have also beaten Rock and Cena due to, like, a mishap between Rock and Cena at Survivor Series that year, and they would have been huge. So he did put them over.
That was our truth kind of falling away. So.
Oh, agreed. But, you know, again, like I said, if Truth didn't get suspended, I think they would have won at Survivor Series.
I don't know if they would have won, but I think they would have stayed together.
They could have won. I'll tell you exactly how they could have won. They could have won in the sense that Rock and Cena could have had.
Yes, that's exactly how they could have won.
I thought they should have had at least one round of titles, but Truth being suspended.
Well, that's what this all could have turned into. Rock and Cena could have had a miscue, whatever. Cena gets rolled up, okay? So Awesome Truth wins, but the last image of that show still could have been Rock and Cena, and when Rock bottom Cena. And Rock's music playing, that show still could have ended that way,
okay,
with just a different result in the actual match. And it wouldn't have hurt Rock or Cena, but it would have done, again, if Killings wasn't going to get suspended, it would have done a million things for that team. And then, again, at TLC, they probably could have gone for the tag belt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they could have beaten Bourne and Kofi at TLC, and who knows where the two of them would have went from there. But again, back to the original point, Hunter did team with Punk to put them over. So I don't think Hunter's going to touch the Shield.
Let's hope.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Toph, but I don't think it's going to happen. I don't.
Anyway.
Yeah. What happened, Will?
That was a heck of a Divas match last night.
There was a Divas match? Must not have got that far.
Yeah. I guess the only good news for the Divas division is Paige and Emma are working the road, so hopefully they're going to get called up sooner rather than later, so Paige can pretty much take that division and hold it in the palm of her hand. Is there anything else really to put into the Divas?
That division lost whatever.
Oh, well, they got their new TV show coming out. That's pretty big.
Yeah.
I've already cut ties with that division. Whatever credibility it had, they lost years ago. I don't care. Whenever the Divas are on the TV, I usually leave the room or change the channel. I don't care what they do.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm not buying this at all with the Divas. I'm not sold into Caitlyn.
It's not about who they bring in. It doesn't matter who they bring in. If they don't care and put enough work into the division, it doesn't matter, you know?
Yeah, but I think the problem is, though, Toph, when this division was at its height with Trish and Lita and Mickey and Jazz.
It was at its height at
Victoria.
WrestleMania 22. I remember there were people that wanted to order WrestleMania 22 just to see Mickey and Trish. You know, it had nothing to do
right.
with the fact that they're both hot and the fact that it was a women's
title
match.
I'm not even talking about the fact that they're both hot. It's the fact that, you know, they could all work it back then. Lita
mm-hmm.
could work. You know, Jazz could work. You know, Victoria could work. Molly Holly, Trish, Mickey. You know, it's the fact that they were all able to work. And the fact that they were able to work meant you can give them more than 3 minutes, which meant you were able to actually put them into storylines. I mean, Trish and Lita were actually locked into a storyline with Jericho and Christian. They were actually locked into a storyline with men, you know, because they were all able to work around each other. This current crop, They don't, which is why you've got to hide Caitlyn in a 3-minute match against, you know, Tamina. You know, and right now, unfortunately, the best diva worker that they've got is dancing around with the Great Khali, and
yeah,
you know, that's
yeah, but the divas division has took a lot of hits. You know, they lost Melina, they lost Maryse, they lost Gail Kim, they lost Beth Phoenix. I mean, just consistently. Even though Kelly wasn't a good wrestler, she was a big draw for the kids and the female viewers, and they lost her too. The moment when I really lost faith, there's a difference between losing faith, and even when you lose faith, you still have that glimmer of hope, like Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope. When they signed Awesome Kong, a.k.a. Amazing Kong, and, you know, redubbed her as Karma, that was when I had hope for the division, because it's like finally those same matches Gail Kim and Kong put out in TNA, they can put out in a WWE ring. We can see Kong versus, you know, Melina. We can see Kong versus Beth Phoenix. We can see
Kong, Aya.
You know, it was great. And then what happened with Kong happened, and she was gone. And when she was gone, that was when I was like, yeah, I'm done. When they lost her, that was when I just knew this division's done. So, yeah.
They were in a hard position with her.
Yeah, that wasn't anybody's roster, so.
No, there's no right way or wrong way to handle that, and, you know, it's unfortunate, you know. But, you know, let's see. I mean, all the hype on Paige and Emma and some of these girls down in NXT working with Sarah Del Rey, let's hope, because this may be the last ditch effort. If these girls can't get over, then you might as well just scrap the whole division and make them valets and girlfriends.
I agree. I think the division has gotten to the point where they should just disband it and just go back to them being valets and personalities and, you know, and as time goes by, because that's how it was. You know, people forget, like, characters like Sunny and Sable and Marlena, you know, kind of like in the early days going into the Attitude Era. You know, the fans were able to get invested in those characters, and they got invested enough to the point where fans wanted the division to be revived. And, you know, sometimes I think we as fans are spoiled. You know, you don't really take things for granted until you realize it's not there anymore. If it was up to me, I would completely disband the division and have them all be valets or just, you know, characters. You know, and over time, eventually the division would revive. So,
yeah. Even Trish, manager. Lita, manager to begin with. Victoria, valet, you know. So you're 100% right on that. Yeah, well, or 101 according to Will. You know.
Yeah, that's 101%, by the way. Well,
okay.
What about the World Heavyweight Title picture? How come every week it's always a one-on-one? Is that a little weird to me the way they're doing this one? I mean, I'm looking forward to the match. I mean, a ladder match for that belt with them is really good. But
a ladder match without Christian? Speaking of, where is he? How long do we have to wait? This is ridiculous. You know how long I've been waiting for Christian? When is he going to come back and make SmackDown watch?
Fan access?
I'll give you a date, Toph, and I don't know this from any inside information. It's just pure speculation. May 20th.
The day after Extreme Rules?
Yeah.
Okay, it's just so strange to see a ladder match without Christian. I took pride in saying that Christian was the last person that made a ladder match by itself credible. The problem with ladder matches is that ladder matches have now been absorbed into Money in the Bank matches and TLC matches, because technically those are ladder matches too. But the ladder match aspect by itself, like take away the TLC aspect, take away the Money in the Bank aspect, a ladder match by itself, Christian is the last person to make these matches relevant and credible. He had a great match with Alberto Del Rio at Extreme Rules. He had another great match, a very underrated match with Shelton Benjamin. I think that was the first TLC pay-per-view, right? Or was that the second one?
No, the first one for the ECW title.
Yeah, you know, it's just very strange to see a ladder match without Christian. But, you know, Del Rio, Del Rio, he's been in a few ladder matches, and, you know, he's worked with Christian, so he should be okay.
How about Ziggler wins, starts running his mouth how he won Money in the Bank, he beat Cena in a ladder match, and won the Triple Threat ladder match. He's the greatest performer ever in the ladder match, and all of a sudden, here comes Captain Charisma's music.
I'd like that. Christian Ziggler would be a fresh feud, something new, something different, and for a world title. So,
yep.
What do you guys think is going to happen to Swagger? Is the punishment coming or no?
The punishment came.
Oh, well, what was his punishment?
Tapping out clean to Del Rio like a bitch at WrestleMania and having no entrance.
Okay. Oh, yeah, you're right about that. Wait, what about Alberto Del Rio? Where does he go?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I think Ziggler's got to hold on to it for a little bit. I think that you can still do Jack Swagger versus Alberto Del Rio. You know, you can still technically go that route. They have a reasoning. But I think, honestly, I think Antonio Cesaro's got to team up with that group, and he's got to get some steam going. I think that's what will help a lot. So that's where I think they should go.
I actually feel sorry for Alberto Rio, to be honest.
I don't know. Alberto as a face is sometimes it's hard to figure that part out. I don't know.
I feel sorry for him because, like, it's not anything he did personally. I feel sorry for him because WWE, they're trying very hard to establish their international draws, their Hispanic draws. And Rey Mysterio, you know, his legs are shot and his time is running out. And Sin Cara just completely flopped. Unico has been in MIA for God knows how long. So Rio is like their only option. So they're going to have to push him as their guy to cater to the Hispanics. And to make it worse, they're going to make him a babyface, something that he's clearly not very good at because he just works better as a heel. So it's like basically the Rio, he's just going to have to carry the torch until they can find whoever they're looking for or until the Rio starts connecting with the fans. Not that the Rio is a bad babyface, but you can tell that Ricardo Rodriguez, he's clearly the heart of that trio. He's the one that riles up the fans. He's the one that introduces them. You take away Ricardo Rodriguez and Del Rio, he's just a generic call. Great in-wing worker, but just generic. I feel sorry for Del Rio because he's in a situation that's not his fault, but, you know, he's got to suck it up and take one for the team.
I'll tell you exactly where they messed up with Del Rio as a babyface, and this would have worked. The New Year's Eve Raw.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
He cut that promo backstage with Ricardo, and he basically apologized for how he treated him for the last 2 years and said, you know what, no one should treat you that way. You have my respect. You've been my friend. And you know what? That right there on a live show would have worked. You did that on a tape show that aired New Year's Eve of all nights.
Yeah, nobody watched that.
Who saw that?
I don't even remember it.
So there you go.
You know, I think Ziggler should hold on to it, and then, you know, eventually we could see, you know, the Money in the Bank should be in Philadelphia, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I think the match itself will be good. I'm more interested in the spots they're going to do because what's interesting here is all three of them have, you know, valet. Swagger has Zeb Coulter, Del Rio has Ricardo, and Ziggler has AJ and Big E. So there's going to be a lot of false finishes. And, you know, it's going to be like the TLC matches that Edge and Christian, the Dudleys, and the Hardys had, you know, where each of them had someone come into the ring with them.
17, yep, that was at 17.
Yeah, it's gonna be a very entertaining match. I'm more interested just in the spots they're gonna do. I'm always very, very interested in the different types of spots you see in ladder matches. It's very cool because people always say you've seen everything. No, there's always something new you can do. You just gotta think about new stuff you can do.
Yeah, you know, and Ziggler's at least a guy who might be able to help reinvent the wheel a little here.
Well, we should talk some TNA talk because that's actually good wrestling going on.
Okay, what you guys want to talk about?
Well, aces and aces. What else is there to talk about? It's a storyline. Sting is the number one contender.
One thing I want to ask you guys is, from what I've been told, they're going to be bringing back the Bound for Glory series. I hope they bring it back. If they do bring it back, which participants would you like to see in the Bound for Glory series? As you know, it's usually 12. So, based on the current roster.
Well, I don't see why they would, because AJ Styles has already been kind of promised a title match at Bound for Glory.
Okay.
I don't see a reason they would even need that this year, because now they've already established that, okay, well, AJ Styles is allowed to get a title shot starting at, you know, Bound for Glory. So why not? Who do you think? I mean, AJ's going to be the saving grace. It's the only option. It would be completely worthless for me, because I already know the outcome of that. It's already
Yeah.
Out.
I agree with that.
I don't see a reason. They've already pronounced, like, you know, hey, you can't get a title shot until Bound for Glory, you know, 2013. So obviously they're going to build it around AJ trying to get that title shot, because right now he's stuck in limbo. But what I did, what I was a little upset with is that the James Storm AJ Styles match should have took place at Slammiversary, because they could have had a lot of time for that.
They did pull the trigger too soon for that. I agree.
So I think that, you know, they're teasing this a lot lately. They've been teasing it like crazy that, you know, AJ might turn heel, which he might do. You know, he might actually be joining Aces and Eights, but in the end might just be doing it just to fool them. So
he does.
I don't know. I'm looking forward to that story. I think there's a good story there. It's like, you know, the dark, you know, but it, I mean, people are saying, okay, well, this is a thing from 97. I was like, yeah, it is, but it works. It's a different guy.
Well, I don't mind it being a repeat of the whole Sting thing, because of all the angles that have been repeated over the years, that's actually one of the things hasn't been touched on. So,
I'll give you something else too. For everyone that's bitching and moaning about Matt Morgan jobbing to Sting last week for the number one contender shot for Slammiversary, this is why, again, people need to look at the big picture. Do you want Morgan in his first shot against Bully jobbing to Bully at Slammiversary, or would you rather have Sting job to Bully, establish Bully even more so? So then maybe if he faces a guy like Morgan later on down the road, they both mean something.
My personal
opinion, that Morgan should have been the guy, because if Morgan was the guy, think about what would happen if the main event was, you know, again, it would be kind of like what happened with, you know, Bully Ray with Hogan. Why not just do the same thing with, you know, where Morgan betrays Hogan and, you know, he thinks he's going to be the saving grace of TNA and he's not. You know, he actually joins Aces and Eights or lays down or something. You know, something, you know, where Hogan, again, trusted a guy and they betrayed him and Hogan just can't catch a break. You know, that would be more interesting for me.
Well, you know, since we're talking about TNA, and everyone knows I'm a big TNA fan, I will admit, as far as the wrestling product goes, TNA or Impact Wrestling, whatever you want to call them, they put out the better wrestling product, and at the end of the day, that's all I care about. However, at the same time, they also have their own storylines and stuff, and I will admit, as a TNA fan, I have not really been connecting or clicking with their stories. Aces and Eights is just too similar to the NWO in the sense of how much TV time they eat up. I hate it when the show starts off and the first thing you see is the Aces and Eights cutting a promo. I mean, that's exactly how the NWO did it in Nitro, you know. Because, you know, long-time wrestling fans that grew up watching WCW, the Nitros went in a pattern. It always started with a promo from Hogan or somebody from the NWO. It would go like 20 minutes. Then there would be like a cruiserweight match, another NWO promo, mid card match, another NWO promo. That's exactly the type of booking they're giving Aces and Eights. What's making it worse is they're doing the old style of what Raw used to do, where it was like a live show 1 week and then, like, you know, a recording the next week. And so they would use the same people on both weeks. And so that kind of mentally exhausts the crowd, making the shows even more difficult to watch. So I'm not really feeling the actual stories and TNA at the moment, but I still like the wrestling. I do like what they're doing with the tag team division, you know, like with Chavo and Hernandez. They actually are a good tag team. I know Chavo has a lot of haters and whatever. I like Bad Influence. I like Aries and Bobby Roode. I don't really know where this fortune possibility thing is going. I don't know. I think it's only a matter of time before Aries turns face again, so.
I think the tag division right now, you know, definitely is the strongest thing TNA's got going right now. They got three tag teams that work so well together, and they have great matches. You know, I had a hard time with Chavo and Hernandez, but I'm turning the wheel on them, and I'm liking that they're with two heel teams, you know, and the two heel teams can't even get along. And I think it's working out very well. I think it's a great combination, you know, of teams together, and it's gold on that. I think that's going great. You know, I think they got to build the X Division back up again, but I think the Aces and Eights is strong. And I think they are catchy. I think they have a purpose.
The problem is the Aces and Eights, they don't have any characters. Bully Ray is the only character the majority care about.
You don't need characters when you have a stable. You don't need characters. There's no reason at all to have characters in a stable. The only
but
one that matters.
Characters, no one's going to invest in them.
You're investing in the stable. That's what you're investing in. You're invest like Devon's got a character because he was the first one revealed. No, you know, they got to build other guys up. I do agree with that, and they're probably trying to do that. But right now, Bully Ray's the focus until, you know, they have to get Kurt Angle with somebody. They wasted the D'Lo Brown Kurt Angle match. You know, I don't know what that's going to be like. You know, that we have to figure out. But I think they could have saved that right there for, you know, the next for Slammiversary. But they gave that match away really early. I don't know why. But
let me ask you guys this. If you could change anything in TNA right now, what would you change? Just one thing, though.
What question?
Who?
Am I the only one online here? No one else is answering?
Well, while you guys are thinking, I can
say,
the one
I
thing
would
I would change.
They have to build the X Division back up to being back to when in 2004, 2005. They got to build it back up.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's obvious, of course. I agree there. The one thing that I would change with TNA, this is my biggest problem. People talk about how they don't like Hogan or how there's too much TV time, blah, blah, blah. I'll tell you what my biggest problem with TNA is, and I've had this problem since day one. What qualifies as a mid-carder in TNA? There is no true – when you look at TNA's roster, you don't really know who's a mid-carder and who's an upper mid-carder. And the reason is because there is no true – mid-card title. The problem is the X Division used to be that because the X Division was about no limits. But now they've given it a weight limit, pretty much turning it into the Cruiserweight title. So with the X Division title not having a weight limit, there's no true mid-card title. They have a TV title, which could be their mid-card title, but it seems like they either care about it or AJ Styles and Doug Williams, I don't know if you guys remember that, when they were feuding for the belt, it was actually a very good feud. And when Samoa Joe, when he had a TV title, and when Devon had it as a babyface, they were defending it every week. But ever since Devon went aces and eights, the TV title's just there. And I feel like there's a lot of guys on the roster that could benefit from that mid-card belt. Guys like Magnus, guys like a returning Chris Sabin, guys like Bobby Roode, guys like Austin Aries, guys like Kazarian. I think there's a lot of guys that could benefit from that title, but it seems like TNA just refuses to use it. It's just there. There is no true mid-card scene in TNA. You're either in the main event scene or you're not, and that's my biggest beef with it. There's no – the mid-card scene has no identity in TNA. That's a big problem.
Well, I mean, they haven't established a mid-card belt either, though.
Yeah.
So, if they haven't established a mid-card, you know, belt, really, which, you know, you can't... I mean, who says there has to be, anyway?
I mean, there has to be a mid-card belt, though. That's how it works in wrestling.
WWE made that with the Intercontinental title. And
WCW did it with the U.S. belt. Fans forget.
You know, it doesn't. I don't think it really makes a difference to me. I just think they need to build the titles back up. They just haven't done that.
Okay.
That to me is the biggest thing.
Where did JCD go?
What was that?
Is JCD still on the phone? Is he still here?
I don't know if he's here or not. I don't know. He went. But, you know, the X Division was a pretty big focal point for TNA to kind of get show, like, something different, and the six-sided ring too, I think, had a lot to do with it. But when you haven't really shown that, and now they're putting like restrictions on it, which I do agree is like a little weird. You know, I don't know. I mean, they have to do something with that X Division, and I think Chris Sabin's a perfect guy to kind of build that up. And I'm hoping that they go with him. You know, but right now they haven't really gone with him yet.
I hope it works out for him. I'm actually concerned about Saban.
What was that?
I said I hope it works out for Saban. I would actually, if I was a booker, I would have kept him out of the X Division. You know, when you have two torn ACLs, I mean, it's really hard coming back for that. When you have an injury like that, you kind of have to change your style completely. So, I mean, he put on a great match last week, but just from the way he was working, you could tell that, like, you know, he's still in great shape. He wasn't injured, but you could tell he had to modify his style. The high risk style that he used to use, it just wasn't there. I understand that. So, but I hope it works out.
Can't do that now. Well, he can't do that now. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think Slammiversary is good. I think Sting versus Bully Ray is the right way to go because based on what the storyline's been telling us, you know, that would be the right way to go with the story. I think that would make more sense to me. You know, I think they should go that route. Eventually, I don't believe Sting is going to be the guy. I don't even think Sting looked that good in the match against, you know, I think his best match was with Austin Aries on Impact a couple weeks ago.
That was a good match.
That was a great match.
Yeah, Sting,
and
he can still go only with certain people. You know, he has good chemistry with Aries, of course. His matches with Angle were always good. You know, there's a select few Sting can have great matches with. Otherwise, I would agree. It's just a bunch of punches and sideways punches and kicks and stinger splashes and stuff, you know. They usually have to protect Sting in some type of tag match or something, so.
Yep, I totally could see that, but. You know, the Ace and Ace to me, I like the theme song. I think it's really good. I'm not really sure. I mean, I am on the Blog Talk Radio website. It looks like we did get it disconnected, so I have it right here. But to end the night, I mean, we're going forward to next week. Is there anything going on for the rest of the week at Blog Talk Radio for us? I'm not too sure.
I don't believe so. I'll have to get back on Jay of that, but I don't think we have anything else going on this week.
Cool. Well, since I now have the host board, why don't we talk about plugging? We have to go to facebook.com/Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. We have our Facebook forum where our articles are being written, our group page is up there. Also, you go to ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. Check out our YouTube channel. We do have a YouTube channel, which is amazing. We put up a video from PWS where we had a great interview with John Morrison. We had superstar Billy Graham. We had Shelly Martinez. We had some great interviews. Marty Jannetty. You know, we got some good people, and it was an honor to be on that show. And do you have anything else you want to say to the fans that you have, all five of them that like you?
Haha. Thanks for listening every week, guys. Couldn't do it without you.
That's right. And we'll be back on next Tuesday. And hopefully for Extreme Rules, we will have a post show on how the show went. Let's hopefully I'm sure we'll do it. So, I have nothing else to say. I mean, now I have a question. Should we end on this note? Should we end on Fandango, TLD, or Fandango?
Fandango.
Yes, that's right. All right, guys, so thank you very much for joining in. This is the best show ever in history. It's Pro Wrestling Powerhouse, and check us out on iTunes. And while you're doing that, Fandango. I don't know if it's working, but it probably isn't working. Oh, well. It's not working, ladies and gentlemen. You can just hum the song yourself, you know, so it doesn't really matter. So what we'll do is we'll end the show a little bit early. Thank you guys for listening in, and tune in next week, same time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. Have a good night, guys.